Welcome back, everybody, to the Sports Focus podcast. I'm your host, the one, the only, Frank. And as always, I'm not here alone. I'm with my co-host, Mr. Sosie.
I am him, Mr. Sosie, the self-proclaimed Sports Analyst of the Year, the Fans' Choice Award, I'll be the Fans' Favorite Sports Analyst of the Year. Yeah, all that good stuff, Sha, but I'm him. That's all.
Okay. As always, we have a very entertaining show for you guys today. We are going to be talking David Hare's officially leaving Manchester United and Man United potentially bringing in Andre Onana to replace him. We're going to be talking about Bayern Munich's second bid for Harry Kane, which is reportedly up to £80 million or euros, one of the two. And we're going to wrap up the podcast talking FPL, Haaland and Premier League. We talked about a little about Mason Mount joining Manchester United in the last episode of the podcast, and I guess one thing I didn't do well of saying in that episode was just talking about how I felt there was still more, or I feel like there's still more to be done. In my opinion, bringing in Andre Onana, if and when he comes, is going to be a monumental step for United. But let's first start with the De Gea part of it, and I'm going to address this question to you. You can tell me what you think about it first. What sort of legacy did you think he left behind?
You know, the gay situation, it's like, as a United fan, I don't know how you guys feel, but if I was a United fan, it would be filled with mixed feelings. Like, De Gea is like, he was the last remaining player from the 2012-2013 winning team. And he has been with the club for 10 or 12 years or so. And in those times, he has broken the record of most saves, most clean sheets. No, not most saves, most clean sheets, I think.
Most saves in a single game belongs to De Gea in the 14 saves against Arsenal.
But I think most total saves still belongs to Ben Foster. But he has broken a lot of records. He has been solid. Like, the one constant about Man United for the past 10 years in recent football was David De Gea. But we all know his weaknesses. He cannot use his leg to save his life. He can't he can't put him on the ball. Under pressure, he will always fumble. So, as a club like United, wanting to move forward, you know, charge for that title, you need a better keeper than David De Gea, which sounds crazy. This is, you know, a goalkeeper that was starting for Spain. You know, and we know how strong the Spain squad is, but it happens in football. But so at the end of the day, he left a legend, but he did not leave a legend at the same time. It's, you know, it's funny. He has achieved that legend status, definitely, but you did not like leave, like, you know, clapping like, oh man, he has done, we thank you for your service. Everybody wanted him out. No Man United fan wanted De Gea to start this season or even to be on the bench for that matter. And Onana is like the opposite of David De Gea. He's good with his feet. He's so good that you will even be scared watching him play. That's how good he is. He's very confident on the ball.
Yes.
He can start an attack from the back, just like the way Ederson does for Man City. It's like having an extra midfielder on your pitch. So adding that kind of solidity at the back and that kind of trust, because when De Gea was in goal, if the ball just falls to his feet, like, there's this nervousness, like, oh my god. So I'm really excited to see how Onana will really make that United defense and the whole team better.
Yes, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think the gear stuff is one of those situations where they say you either die, I mean, go out a hero, or die a hero, or live long enough to become the villain. And that was sort of how you can explain what David De Gea's career for Manchester United was. He was, at a point, I feel almost unequivocally, the best goalkeeper, not just in the Premier League, but in the world. His ability to, you know, just pull out save upon save upon save. And as football progressed, as football started to change, certain expectations were being put on the shoulders of goalkeepers, and unfortunately for him, he was, or he is, unable to carry or perform those kind of or carry out those kind of expectations. And you know, like you said, it turned out to be a situation where almost every single one was just had their fingers crossed that they are not going to renew his contract. I am going to obviously I'm having Onana, having a goalkeeper that can execute passes that can help you break the press is I'm in love with that. I like that move for Man United. But and it's not like I'm not saying this like I'm not being critical of Onana or anything, but it's going to, and I mentioned this in the group chat the other day, it's going to be scary watching some Man United games, not just because Onana is a high risk type of goalkeeper, but just simply because it is he does something we as Manchester United fans just simply don't see very often. And it's going to be interesting on that front. I think yeah, with regards to how he makes the team better, obviously if you have a goalkeeper that is adept at not just passing the ball out from the back, but goal prevention, which is stopping the shot entirely by coming out to be a sweeper keeper as against staying in the post and waiting and trying to make a save, you know, that part of it, that means your team can play a higher line. You guys can be a lot more aggressive in possession. We'll see how all that stuff goes. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Man United do regarding that next season. If you have nothing else to say, we can move on to Harry Kane and
Let's move
Bayern.
on.
Yes. Okay. So we've talked about Harry Kane a lot in this podcast, but usually we've talked about him from the perspective of himself, Harry Kane, the player. What is his legacy going to be when he leaves, and so on and so forth. Bayern have put in a second official bid for Harry Kane, which is, according to reports, 80 plus some odd million. It's going to be in and around 86 million. I think the first question I want to ask is, what do you think is the proper valuation for Harry Kane right now, considering his age and what he can give you down the line?
For a striker like Harry Kane, we all know that, Harry Kane is not all about the speed. And we know what usually affects all those top players is like speed, but like their technique and all those other physicality, everything remains the same, but they just become slower and more conservative. But personally, I will never support spending 80 plus million on a 29-year-old pushing 30. But Harry Kane is special. Harry Kane is special. And he's the kind of player that will give you success instantly. And in a team like Bayern, where they have quality players at every single part of the pitch, Harry Kane will really push them to that, because it's Champions League they want to get at this point. We'll put them in the contention for, okay, Bayern is one of the favorites to win the Champions League. So, and we know how valuable, because he is to Spurs, like how he's like, without Harry Kane, Spurs has no identity. So this is not just the value for the player, but the value of the player and what it means to the club he is. So it's that's the only way they can force a move. And so it actually makes sense at the end.
Yeah, I think like you said, his value to Spurs obviously adds to that, but also the fact that he's or his position, his type of player, he's a striker is a need that Bayern Munich have to fill next season. They right now, after letting Lewandowski go, they don't have a competent striker in their books. Sadio Mane can play as a striker, but he's not Harry Kane, and he too is, you know, on the wrong side of 30. So that also sort of drives up the price. I also, like you, a little bit skeptical about paying in and around this range for a player, especially this age, but he is world class. He is the definition of world class. And I think for players like that, it's going to be more often than not, it's going to be worth it having him in your books as against it. And yeah. 100 million, maybe over 100 million is going to be excessive. But anything in and around there, maybe 90, 95, 100, I think makes a lot of sense for somebody that brings that much quality to your team. Do you agree with my pricing there?
It has to be. Like, if I was Spurs, I would not let him go with anything less than 100 million.
Okay, so let's talk about sports. Okay, let's talk about sports. And I feel like you probably, I just want to hear what you're going to say. Should they want to let him go? Because he's 29, like we said, he's pushing 30. Yeah. Will you be able to get a competent replacement for him, maybe from your academy or from transfers? And if yes, if you can be able to get somebody from transfers, do you even have the money, to get that kind of player? I feel now might be the best situation for Spurs to cut bait, get as much money as you can for Harry Kane, and then try your possible best to invest all of that back into the transfer market and get a player that is going to, replace him. Even though you might not be able to replace Harry Kane, the player, you might be able to get somebody who is 23, 24. That can last you a lot longer than Harry Kane will. So if you were Spurs, will you be able to do that?
If I was Spurs, I wouldn't sell. Because if I really wanted to sell, I would have sold to
Okay.
City. At this point, yeah, at this point, I would not sell because without Harry Kane now, we are the rebuilding process will take a longer time now because the club is not they might the club is not really in a good this is not where they want to be. Like fighting for top four then ending up seventh with Hurricane, no. So realistically, the sensible thing would be to sell Kane now, maybe for the 100 million, then reinvest the money into different parts of the team, But now they need something. Like they have been on the back end of losing out for too much. They need to be able to. I think they should go all out with Harry Kane now while they have him. Make him believe that this is where he is, this is where he will break Alan Shearer's record. Just back him up with as much quality as possible.
Okay, I mean, I guess if I was Spurs, I'd probably do it the other way. We talked about United just now, about David De Gea being the last piece from the old age, the old United age that is leaving. I don't know. Okay, let's talk Spurs a little bit. I don't know what your expectations for them next season is, but they seem to be so far off the best teams in the league. And I understand, like, you don't want to make yourself intentionally weak, but why would Harry Kane want to remain in that kind of situation? Is how I see it. And maybe selling Harry Kane is going to be a way for them to hit a hard reset button and just try and re regrow or restart the process with a new coach and just fresh new players.
Oh yeah, I get that, like from a making the team healthier point of view, but now Spurs is already Spurs. They're removing Harry Kane. Honestly, I don't know if there's coming back from that now.
Okay, that makes sense. That let's move on. Let's talk Haaland. Because we're not really talking Haaland, we're talking FPL. Because Haaland is priced at 40 million. That's the highest ever, yes? For a Premier League
I
player on
think so. I
FPL
think
ever.
maybe
40 million. That's the
Thierry Henry was 14. I think
Okay. Salah
Salah
was
was
never
like
14.
13.
But Salah is the one that currently has the record for the highest points ever accrued over a single season, yes? I think Harry Kane, I think Haaland was unable to
Yeah,
break
because
that record
Haaland
last season.
is a striker, and Salah was has always been in that midfield and next.
Oh yeah, he was getting clean
And
sheet
extra goal
points.
points.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thierry Henry, Ronaldo, and Robin van Persie have all been 14 million.
Okay, Robin van Persie, that's nice. Okay, that makes sense. But that's
Yes.
the highest price ever that anyone has ever gotten to. Okay, so the way we are seeing it here, that means they anticipate he's going to recreate last season again. That is pretty much what this is saying. They want to put him at a ridiculous price, and stuff like that. So my question to you is this: can you do it again? Can you do it again? I cannot talk, Jesus. Can he do it
I don't even
again?
think he will just do it again. I think he will do it better.
Stop it.
No, I think you would do better.
How many goals did you score
30,
last season?
what, 36?
36.
It was 36, I think.
You think so? You think he probably gets to 40 this season?
He like injury will be the only thing. You know, it was very lucky last season. No injury, just, you know, one or two matches missed. But if he can go full
Yeah.
fitness again, 38 least.
I don't know. I feel like naturally I'm trying to disagree with you because, you know, I don't
No,
like.
naturally, it makes sense to be like, oh, you know, the second season thing, you will not be able to reach that height.
Yes.
But nobody's, it's not even possible to reach this height. Like,
Yes.
it was not like, we could not fathom it being possible, like,
That's true.
normally. But, like, when I said 38, like, it's possible for him to average a goal a game. I think, which he did this season.
Pretty much,
He just, like, not
yes.
play every game.
Yeah.
Yes. So, it's, if he can play every game,
Okay. And
a goal a game.
I think my biggest not argument against, but my biggest argument, yeah, my biggest argument against ties into the next question I'm going to ask you, which is somebody has to, or some teams are going to figure this out, right? It's the Premier League. It is, according to pretty much everybody that watches football, the most competitive league in the world. We are seeing is a league where Aston Villa signed Pau Torres. You know, Pau Torres was supposed to come to Man United last season. He is a really good player.
That's crazy.
There's not just money, you know, available to essentially all the 20 teams in the league. It has, in my opinion, the best coaches in the league: Klopp, Guardiola, Ten Hag, Arteta. It has, at this moment, I think, the best player in the league, who happens to be Erling Haaland. And
Yo. I know you're poaching that list
okay,
just now. What was this?
add Pochettino too. Okay, but the point I'm making is this: Man City basically have run riot on this league since Guardiola came. Now, people are going to say it's just been the last 3 years, but if you're being honest, since the second season, it's been easy. Someone or some people at some point have to figure this out, because if they don't, it's essentially the Farmers League. And so, do you think the Premier League is the Farmers League? Basically, you're saying yes if you think Haaland is going to score 60 goals in the Premier League alone next season.
Man City they have won it, what, 4 out of 5 years?
Yeah.
Which kind of league are we in again? Yeah, they're farming. They are farming. They're having the time of their life. They're farming. And we holler now. They would. And this was not even like this. Like, they had a terrible season, though.
Yes. Yeah, not terrible, but they didn't start well
No,
and it
like
was pedestrian.
if you look at the way, like, US, like, throughout the season, we're always saying that, oh, we're expecting them to flop. Like, you were saying it now. Man City will always, they will lose a game.
True.
They are not playing as they
True.
should. Yeah. So, just imagine a City side that starts well from beginning. But what I like about the league now, based on the way the transfer window is going, we are seeing that the other big clubs, the so-called big six or whatever, they are, even the whole league, we're seeing the intention. Like you said, Pau Torres is going to
Yeah.
Villa. Like, everybody's trying to fight for something. Like, there's this drive. Now, Newcastle, they are making good signings. Even I love to see a player like Harvey Barnes in Newcastle colours.
Yeah.
He's a Newcastle, the new Newcastle type player. So everybody's making moves. And that's the only thing I can say, that everybody's trying to raise their bar. But unfortunately, it won't be good
Yeah,
enough.
it's never really enough, is it? It's because I mean, Premier League teams have always spent larger amount of money than the teams in their sort of level in other leagues. So let's take Aston Villa for instance. They are going to spend a lot more money than maybe Real Betis will, or a team like Valencia or Villarreal will, when it comes to La Liga. So the Premier League really have always spent this kind of money. And I actually have an article up on my Substack about something like this, and I stumbled on this thoughts like a month after Haaland came in. I think the problem is we have never actually in the Premier League seen this quality of player before, probably since Ronaldo left the first time. It's you have a situation now where you have clearly at this point, the best player in the world playing for the best team in the world, and that team has the best coach in the world. And it's just pretty much impossible for you to stop something like that. And when you have that kind of situation, the league essentially ends up being a farmers league. It's not that the rest of the league cannot compete, but you can't compete to the point where you can get yourself to displace Man City. And it's difficult because I feel like 2 to 20 is always going to be a battle. It's always going to be interesting, but we always know who number one is going to be. And it's the butterfly effect. It's the effect of having the best player in your league. And right now, the Premier League is going to understand how it feels like to be La Liga, to be Barca, for instance, having Messi, or Real Madrid having Ronaldo all those years, where these other teams, no matter how much money they really want to spend, you just can't compete when you have the best team in the world, having the best player in the world, having the best coach in the world. It's kind of how it goes. It's kind of how it goes. Let's talk Harvey Barnes before we close up a little, because we have maybe a little bit more time. Because you talked about Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes to Newcastle, I like that.
I love that a lot. I love Harvey Barnes personally. He's the kind of player that, if he's fit, he can make a
Yeah,
difference.
but the question for me now is this: is always because I think we talked about this a little one time. Not just okay. We'll talk about making a difference. It's I always look at it tactical first. Where does he play? I mean, said Maximan, and I know the output is always an issue. He's a problem when he's fit. Like he's, in my opinion, he's the best dribbler in the Premier League when it comes to beating your player 1v1, multiple players as a matter of fact. The problem with him has always been, can he be able to find the final ball? Can he be able to score? When you have someone like Harvey Barnes who is not anywhere near as talented as Maximan when it comes to 1v1 dribbling, but is an output machine in terms of assists and goals, how do you try to figure that out? Because even last season itself, Newcastle were not starting Maximan as much as they usually do. So I don't know what your thought process is on. Is that who would you take, Maximan or Harvey Barnes?
I'll take Harvey Barnes, like you said. Maximan, like, is a wonderful player to watch. Like, if you just want to, watch spectacular football, but football is more than, being able to dribble. And sometimes he does too much with the ball. Just pass, brother. Just pass. Just pass. No need for. We know you can. We know. Pass. Then the issue is, another issue is, can he finish? And he's very injury prone, which we saw last season. So he's a wonderful player to, like, to bring off the bench and, throw into the mix, cause havoc. But it's not him, unfortunately. As good as he is.
That's fair. That's fair. Like maximum off the bench is going to be scary for Newcastle. You whispered the question when I was going through that stuff about whether it's going to make any difference. Newcastle just got Tonali, who I think is good but not great. But he sort of fits that Newcastle type of player that you talked about earlier. Harvey Barnes fits that mold too. They finished fourth last season, so just in a Champions League position. Do you see them having another top four finish next season? You have to say no because you believe Chelsea is going to win the league. So if Chelsea wins the league, they have to knock out somebody in Newcastle. So the question has
Why
answered itself.
I feel it's really difficult is I don't think the top teams will want to make the same mistake twice. Like, Liverpool will be back, Chelsea will try. We are yet to see if they will succeed. They will try. They will try. And I know they will be in that top four. Arsenal, Declan Rice looking strong. Spurs, no, Spurs is not it. United, they have
Yes.
Mount. And if you have Mount,
Yes.
you can climb the So, no, I think they will put up a good fight, but they will just finish. They'll finish out. They won't finish. They won't finish top four. But it will be close. It will be like, it will be a struggle.
It's going to be an entertaining Premier League season for sure. It's going to be a necessity Premier League season for
Yes.
sure. I think that's all we have. That's pretty much all we have for today. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Sports Focus podcast. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe, listen multiple times if you have to. And catch you guys in the next episode. Mr. Saucy and myself will be leaving now.
Peace.